This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. This is our 25th anniversary year. 1989, Marketplace went on the air. Lots has changed since then, of course, in business and in the economy and on Wall Street as well. If you were looking for a book about the financial industry back then, you couldn't do much better than to pick up a copy of Liar's Poker, also published in 1989 and reissued this year. It is, of course, Michael Lewis's memoir and indictment of the business that he was a small part of back then, selling bonds for Salomon Brothers out of London in the mid-1980s. It has been called, Liar's Poker has, the definitive book of its time. Michael, it's good to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me back.
This book was not received the way you thought it was going to be received, right? You had thought it would be a cautionary tale, and yet 6 months later, you're getting all these letters from college kids saying, how do I do what you did?
It had the opposite effect, the one I expected. I didn't think of it as a moralistic tale about Wall Street, but I did think, you know, I was there at the beginning when all these kids like me were rolling onto the street because they couldn't think of what else to do with their lives. And I did think that for someone who had some other idea of what to do with their lives, it would demystify it and they could go on and do what they were supposed to do. And instead, I swear, after 6 months, I had 1,000 letters from kids saying, I'm a junior at Ohio State and I've read your how-to book about how to get ahead on Wall Street. Is there anything you left out because you've made me even more interested in doing it?
But, well, and you know why, right? It's because you talk about making money come out of a telephone.
Not only do I make money come out of a telephone, but I clearly have no idea what I'm doing.
I didn't want to say that part.
The combination is it's like catnip for a male in college because he has no idea what he can do. He has no sense of himself in the marketplace. And then there's this thing you can go. They just throw you, give you lots of money, even though you don't know what you're doing. It created a stampede.
And you say male intentionally because at the time this book was written, females in this business were few and very far between.
True. I would say that even now, they're kept far from the risk-taking. It's still a very male-dominated business. But at the time, yes, my training program at Salomon Brothers was, I don't know, 85%, 90% guys.
Yeah, and very fraternity house-like. I mean, the description of some of those guys sitting in the back row of that training class, throwing the spitballs and all that jazz.
It was considered normal and acceptable to order a stripper up on the trading floor.
This is probably not the time to admit this, nor the person to admit it to, but I had not actually read this book until we booked this interview.
It doesn't really hurt my feelings.
Well, all right. Well, good. I'm glad you're over that. But what struck me is really how little seems to have changed. I mean, the faces are different, and maybe the modus operandi is different, but the essence of what happens on Wall Street 25 years later seems sort of to be the same.
There's a timelessness about it, isn't there? I'd say, there are a couple of things that I think are a little different, but it's by degree, not kind. I think that the street has gotten much, much better at disguising what it does because it's gotten so much more complicated. All of a sudden, you're looking at a truly opaque black box when you're looking at something that used to be as simple as the stock market. The other thing is this idea of too big to fail. I mean, that did not exist when I wrote the book. There was a sense that even my firm, Salomon Brothers, could fail. And now, if you're in the equivalent of Salomon Brothers today, you're in a place that basically you sense won't be allowed to fail.
You say, actually, that these guys are working harder at establishing a public persona. But I wonder if that doesn't lend itself to a real difference, actually, between Wall Street then and now. Wall Street then was sleazy, right? They're having strippers on the trading floor, as you said. Now it just seems a little sinister because we're supposed to believe that they're out for the common good.
I think there has been much more attention paid to how things seem rather than how things are than there was then. They're phalanxes of corporate PR people. People inside these firms, no way they're going to talk to a journalist kind of thing.
Yeah.
You got a much slicker corporate exterior now and a much more careful presentation of self. And one of the things that was kind of lovely about the world I described in Salomon Brothers is in the 80s is that the people kind of were how they seemed. There wasn't a lot of hypocrisy. And you might approve or disapprove of the gambling or the strippers on the trading floor, but there was a certain integrity to it.
And what is it now then? What is Wall Street now?
Lost. It has a very unclear sense of its purpose in the world. And I think that's because technology has created a world that's very hostile to intermediaries in most industries, and Wall Street has fought to preserve its position as an intermediary, which is really not necessary in a lot of cases. It's sort of like clawing to preserve its revenues and its profits at a time when it actually probably is in decline.
Do you reread your own writing at all? Have you read this
book recently?
It's
funny you ask that because I got on the plane when I was coming to New York the other day, I thought, I really ought to reread this thing. I've never reread it. And I opened it and I thought, I'm so bored with myself. I can't do this. I just can't. And I tell you, the only other time I'd done this is I'd put it on my lap when the paperback came out in 1990 to reread it before I went on my paperback book tour. And the guy in the seat next to me saw it and he said, oh, I read that book, Cynical Bastard. And so I put it away then and I didn't read it then. So I have not actually reread it, but I vaguely remember what happened to me.
It is a book called Liar's Poker by Michael Lewis, out 25 years ago this year. Michael, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks, Kai.